Let's get back to our program. The next item on our program is the briefing by legal services regarding the approach towards the inquiry into the appointment of Professor Mbati and related matters. I think members will remember that before we could start with our inquiry, we received some letters from the lawyers of University of Venda and Professor Mbati. So as a result, after consultation, we decided that we shouldn't go ahead. It was not an interdict. It was us taking a decision not to proceed so that we can consult. So we have done consultation and we have decided that we need to revise the terms of reference of the inquiry. The inquiry is still proceeding. However, we are going to revise the terms of reference so that we are strictly within the bounds of our mandate. We do not encroach on other on powers of other organs of the state and so forth. So I'm going to ask Fatima to take us through the presentation. Basically, it's just how we have to approach the whole matter. And once the portfolio committee agrees with that approach, we will then take it from there. So we don't expect to get into the details now. Now we're just dealing with the framework. Receiving a presentation on the framework and then take it from there. Fatima, are you ready?
Yes, Chair, I'm ready.
Okay.
Good morning, Chair and members and colleagues. Chair, today the purpose of our briefing is to present the terms of reference, the draft terms of reference that will govern the manner in which the Oversight Committee will be called to emphasize the importance of the committee conducting the inquiry within the parameters of the oversight function. And of course, ensuring that the committee then agrees to a terms of reference. Unfortunately, we weren't able to go any further than that because of the threat of legal action. But Chair, there was nothing in those threats that we had not already discussed and agreed to. It was never the intention of the committee to go beyond its oversight mandate. But in any event, be that as it may, Chair, before I look at the actual terms of reference, which as I understand it has been circulated to members, I just wanted to reiterate these points that are going to set the backdrop and govern the approach for the inquiry. As I explained in the last meeting, Chair, the committee is not a court of law, it's not a tribunal, and the purpose of the inquiry was never to determine the merits of the sexual harassment allegations, as those have been fully ventilated by the courts and the bodies that have the legal jurisdiction to pronounce on it. And similarly, the committee does not have jurisdiction to look at the issue of whether the dismissal of Pendler was fair or unfair, as that's been the subject of a long drawn-out labour court process, which is now concluded. So the central element of the inquiry is that the principle of separation of powers must be respected at all times, and the committee, of course, must be then guided by its oversight mandate, which the committee is obviously very familiar with. Chair, it's on the basis of these principles that we then proceeded to draft a formal draft terms of reference for the consideration of the committee, which I'll now take you through. I'll focus on the salient points, Chair, because I don't want to waste the committee's time on some of the very niggly detail, but I'll definitely cover all of the important aspects as it relates to the approach. If a committee wants any further information on the elements that I don't touch, I'm sure that the content advisor and the researcher will be able to go into that. So in terms of reference, she starts with the background and explains that the committee became aware of certain allegations of governance failures at the University of Venda, UniVen, during the tenure of Prof. Mbati as the VC, as well as related matters. And as part of its oversight mandate, the committee wishes to consider the allegations, which include allegations of financial... which includes allegations of financial maladministration and mismanagement leveled against UniVen and Prof. Mbati. What do you say, Chase? Yes?
Okay, let me just make sure. There is no slide presentation. We are just going to read from the text.
Yes, Chair. If you want, Anele can put up the terms of reference. If members prefer to see it on their screen.
I think let's do that. I'm not sure whether Anele has distributed it to the members, but let's ask Anele.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, I did just put it in the chat.
Okay. Just put it up, Anele.
Okay, sure.
Okay, I think Fatima just proceed and then as soon as
okay.
She will just put it on the screen.
Okay, Chair, for those members looking at the hard copies, I'm on section one, background, and I'm now going to look at bullets A, B, and C. So the allegations relate to A, the failure of UniVen management to implement sound financial and supply chain management processes and to properly manage the institution, including various infrastructure projects. B, the manner in which the Council of UniVen processed a sexual harassment complaint against Prof. Mbati by Prof. Fendler, a former employee of UniVen. And lastly, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure relating to the use of external service providers and legal consultants. Then lastly, the committee will also look at whether the Sefako Mahato University, or SMU, as we refer to it later on in the document, followed due process when appointing Prof. Mbati as Vice-Chancellor. Chair, we then set out the constitutional provisions which empower the committee to conduct an inquiry. I'm not going to get into that. All members are familiar with it, and it was a covered presentation. So I'm going to skip over 2 and 3, which is the rules of the National Assembly. Those rules serve to support the constitutional right, and just to give it a little bit more detail over there. Point 4, the objectives of the oversight inquiry. The objective is to consider the allegations pursuant to the oversight mandate of the committee. And in furtherance of the mandate of the committee, the inquiry will comprise of 2 parts, Part A and Part B, respectively. Chairperson, previously the committee had what I've got as Part A as Part B and Part B as Part A, but after consideration of the matter, we thought it would make more sense to switch those two around. So now Part A of the oversight inquiry, which will be the first part, is to test the allegations of maladministration and governance failures at UniVen, and to determine whether there has been any non-compliance of laws or policies applicable to UniVen, with a view to making recommendations on what action, if any, ought to be taken. The purpose of Part B is to determine whether SAU complied with due process in the, appointment of Pratham Bharti as VC. Together, Chair, the primary objective of the oversight inquiry is to contribute to the strengthening of governance practices in the post-school education and training sector, which of course is the mandate of this committee. Part 5, Chair, this is the important part that deals with the terms of reference. Part A, again, the first question, as I've said, is the alleged improper processing of the sexual harassment complaint. And here we say, Chair, that this will expressly not include any deliberations on the merits of the complaint. That was never the intention of the committee in any event to deliberate on the merits, but we've included it here specifically in the terms of reference. So the purpose, therefore, of this part of the inquiry is to determine to what extent Univent has implemented its own sexual harassment policy and whether that policy adequately protects the rights of complainants. Also, we will consider whether the Minister of Higher Education and Training implemented the recommendation of the Commission for Gender Equality. The committee is cognizant of the doctrine of separation of powers and therefore will not, in consideration of the evidence or its interaction with witnesses, permit any evidence that seek to test the veracity of the allegation of sexual harassment or the lawfulness of the dismissal of Croft Fendler. Committee statements in this regard made by the respective competent authorities. So, Chair, that just confirms our earlier advice. Point number two, the alleged failure of Univen management to implement sound financial and supply chain management processes and to properly manage the institution, including various infrastructure projects during the period 2008 to 2018, and that was the period during which Pratham Bharti occupied the post of VC. Chair, this part of the inquiry is based on the briefing that the committee received from the Department of Higher Education and Training, followed by a report in May of 2019. And what the committee intends there is to inquire into whether during that period there was any mismanagement, irregularities, undue enrichment, corruption, or undue influence in the procurement and management of these projects as alleged. The committee will further inquire into any other allegations of mismanagement that it has received. There were also some peripheral allegations of mismanagement that did not necessarily relate to infrastructure projects. So all we're doing there is just capturing that the committee will also look at those issues. Lastly, the alleged fruitless and wasteful expenditure relating to the use of external service providers and legal consultants by Univen. So, Chair, witness statements detailed the alleged overuse of external service providers and legal consultants. And these, of course, may constitute fruitless and wasteful expenditure and or violation of applicable financial management prescripts. So this is something else that the committee can apply its mind to. Part B, Chair, will focus, as I said, on the appointment process of Pratham Bharti as VC of SMU. And that's to determine whether SMU complied with its own applicable prescripts in making such appointment. Section 5.2 is the legal parameters of the oversight inquiry. The first part is, again, re-emphasizing that the principle of separation of powers will be respected throughout the process and the committee will be guided by its oversight mandate, which is to hold public entities accountable in cases where it has not followed the law or applicable regulatory prescripts. Chair, we listed some relevant legislation. It may not be a closed list. This will include the Higher Education Act, the regulations that set up the University of Venda and SMU, and then also the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act. Considering the merits of the allegations of sexual harassment or the labour of Prof. Fendler. In terms of time frames, the committee will prioritise the oversight inquiry for the period October to November 2020. However, should additional time be required, the committee may agree to extend the period. Part 7 is the procedure that will be used to conduct the inquiry. As I mentioned, the inquiry will be in two parts, and each part will follow the same process. Firstly, members will be provided with copies of all statements and evidence received, and as I understand it, this step has already been done. But members are instructed and cautioned to not to circulate any documents or evidence received that it may contain information which is subject to the Protection of Personal Information Act of 2013. That act has very recently come into force. So members are just cautioned to please be mindful that some of the statements contain information that should not be shared. But the portions of statements and evidence will be tabled as necessary on the basis of their relevance and with due regard to the permissible regulatory parameters. The next step, Chair, is for the researcher and content advisor to draft witness summaries, which of course will exclude any information related to the merits of the sexual harassment allegations and the labour issues. That's already in the process of being done, and the team is working hard at that. The next point, Chair, is that members will be provided with an opportunity to consider the statements, evidence and witness summaries, and then determine thereafter whether it's necessary to pose any further questions to any witnesses. So, Chair, members will be appraised with all of the documentation. It's not just the summaries, it's everything that's been received in totality. In the event that the committee resolves to pose further questions, it will agree on whether such questions should be posed in writing or whether the identified witnesses will be invited to respond orally. So that's it's only at the stage once members have familiarized themselves with the content of the information that they will make a decision on how to proceed. So they can proceed in one of both ways or a combination of some oral testimony and further questions being posed in writing. Any witnesses that are called, Chair, will be requested to take an oath or affirmation in accordance with the National Assembly rules, linked together with the powers and privileges and immunities of the state. Chair, this is to protect witnesses' certain protections. Being Chair, all witnesses that will give oral testimony will be informed of the parameters of the oversight inquiry and instructed not to remark on or discuss the merits of the sexual harassment and the labour issues. The committee then finally is not a judicial tribunal or court of law. This means that no witness or third party will be allowed to cross-examine any other witness. However, prior to the report of the committee being adopted and tabled, affected persons will be provided with an opportunity to make representations on the finding and the recommendations, Chair, in line with the rules of natural justice. These representations will be considered by the committee prior to the adoption of the report. Chair, the balance of the document speaks to the resources that the committee will require. This includes budget, the services of the committee secretary, committee assistant, content advisor, researcher, myself as parliamentary legal advisor, communications officer, and the ICT technician. I'm not going to go into detail on those issues. Unless members have any particular questions, comments, or queries, we can address those. But in short, Chair, that is the terms of reference. The proposed terms of reference, at least, and that's all from our side for now, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Fatima. Thanks for taking us through the terms of reference, the final terms of reference, which I must say that we have discussed, and from where we are sitting, we are quite comfortable about them. After having to navigate through some of the issues, the legal issues in the main, given the history of this matter and the issues that we are dealing with. So that is that, honourable members. That is the terms of reference, the final terms of reference, which are being presented to the committee for adoption. And once the committee adopts, we will then proceed with the inquiry as per the terms of reference. Or does silence mean consent? Okay. All right, thank you very much, Fatima. It does look like members are quite satisfied with the with your presentation, seeing that there is no one willing to engage. So we take it that the committee has adopted can I get a mover just for formality's sake?
Letsia moves.
Honorable Letsia moves. Any second?
I second the move, Chairperson.
Honorable Mananiso seconds. The terms of reference have been approved. Thank you, Fatima. I think going forward, we'll then prepare according to what is the intention. Thank you. Can we move to the minutes? Anele, what is next? Is it the minutes or the report? It's not the agenda.
The minutes, Chairperson.
The minutes. Okay. Anele will take us through the minutes then. My apologies. I received a lot of emails, so I don't know which one is which. So please just guide me, Anele.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be starting with the minutes of the month of July. It's the 14th, 15th,
and
July.
Oh. Swart, who's Swart now? Swart, can you please mute your mic?
Apologies, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Panelists? Okay.
Yes, Chair, it's the month of July. 14th, 15th, 17th of July, Chair.
Okay. 14th, 15th, and what? 16th, eh? Anele, you said 14th, 15th, and 16th.
17th July, Chair.
Let's start with the first one. The minute of the meeting that took place on the 14th of July. Any comments, honorable members? No comments. Can we adopt the minutes?
Chairperson?
Honorable Mananiso?
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes as the true reflection of the meeting.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mananiso. Any seconder?
I'm seconding, Chairperson.
Madam Sibiya, thank you very much. Secondly, the minutes of the 15th of July, 2020. Any comments on the minutes? No comments. Can I get a move on?
Chair, Honorable Mukasha, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable Mukasha moves. Seconder.
Walter, let's see.
Okay. Is it Walter or Deboho?
Both of them are my name, so today I'm using Walter.
Yes. Today I'm using the European one. Alright. Honorable Walter Litsie seconds. No descending view. Can we move to the minutes of the 17th of July? We take them as read, honourable members. I'm not going to go through page by page. So if there's something that you'd like to raise, please just raise it.
Okay.
But otherwise, we're just presenting the minutes that you have. Any comment, correction? None. Can I get a mover?
Chairperson, Honourable Mananiso, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mananiso. Any seconder?
I'm seconding, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ma'am Smia. No dissenting view, therefore the minutes are approved. Anele?
Yes, Chair, the next set of minutes are for the month of August, the 18th, 19th, 25th, and the 26th of August.
18, 19, 25, 26. 26 August. Okay, members, can I get of the 18th of August? Amendment, none. Can I get a mover?
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Mananiso, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mananiso. Seconder?
Honourable Letsia.
Honourable Letsia, seconds. Thank you very much. The minutes are adopted. The meeting of the 19th of August. Any comment, corrections, amendments, none? Any mover? Honourable Ngobo, are you fine?
Okay. I am not in the mood, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Ngobo, move. Any seconder?
I second the move, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Naniso. The minutes are approved. The minutes of the 25th of August 2020. Any comment, correction? None. Can I get a mover?
Chairperson, I move.
Honourable Mananiso moves. Ma'am Sbia, you are second.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ma'am Sbia, second. No descending view. The minutes are approved. Last set of minutes on the 26th of August 2020. Any comment? Correction? Any mover? Honorable Lizier?
Yes, I move. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lizier. Any?
And I second.
Honorable Kacha, second. That concludes the meeting.
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kacha, you second. And therefore, that concludes the minutes of August. Any further set of minutes, Anele?
There's only one for September. It's the 1st of September. And the last one is the 6th of October. That will be it, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Honourable members, any comment on the minutes of the 1st of September?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the minutes, and I would want to applaud the team as well, because whatever that they are tabulating is what we know, and that has been spoken of.
So, any seconder? Thank you very much, Honourable Mwabo. No descending view. The minutes are therefore approved. The last set of minutes of the 6th of October. Any comments, questions, any member moving for the adoption? Honourable Lizier?
Yes, I have a comment, the Chairperson. On point 2, 2.1 VUT administration presentation, I think Chairperson, what I believe is extremely important is that the administrator, they indicated in the presentation that they have appointed a security company, though, even though he did not give us the dates. So I think that part should be in there. I think this will be extremely important in the future, that we capture exactly what the presenter said, especially because I believe that was a misleading of Parliament. So I think let us include that part, Chairperson, and then after that I would move for the adoption of these minutes. I think they are proper, except that part. He did indicate, Chairperson, that they've appointed a security company. I believe, Chairperson, seated here, that that was a deliberate misleading of Parliament, and I want us it to be included in the minute as it was presented. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Litsi. That is the correction. I remember that they did confirm that the processes have been concluded and they've appointed. They didn't mention the name of the company, so we said it will be mentioned when they come back to us. So let's just make that correction, Anele. Any further correction? None. So were you moving on over, let's see, with that correction?
Yes, Chairperson, I moved after the correction. I'm sorry I could not get the unmute button.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable CEO moves. Seconder?
I second Chairperson with its correction.
Thank you, Ms. Bia. Of 6, adopted. So we are done with all sets of minutes. We must go to the report. Now, talking about the misleading of Parliament, I think members will remember that when we received a briefing from NEHAO, they made very serious allegations about the administrator misleading Parliament. And they gave 3 instances. I think there were more, but the person who was speaking on behalf of NEHAO gave us 3 instances. And the administrator, of course, could not recall exactly what he said, so he asked that he must go and verify his facts and come back. And I think we also, too, on our side, we must do the same. Can we ask the team, the research team, to also verify those 3 instances? It's the issue of the VBS Mutual Bank, where the administrator, well, the allegation is that the administrator misled Parliament by giving us an impression that it is him who cancelled that contract, when it was in fact cancelled by the previous board. And then there was a second instance where the union alleges that the administrator misled us in a sense that he gave us an impression that NSFAS has moved away from the SPACS system to an NSFAS e-wallet. So, according to the union, both of these are 2 platforms, but the same system of SPACS. The difference is that the one was a voucher system and this one is an e-wallet, but both of them it's one system. It's not like they cancelled one and then they went to acquire another one. So we must just verify that, I think, get the record of those minutes or those meetings. And the other was the actual this one will be easy to verify. The actual reason given for the delay in the tabling of the annual report, the last day I think is 2019 annual report. So if we can just follow that one up and find out exactly what were those reasons, and let's just get the records. Because we are planning to have a follow-up meeting with NSFAS in the next 2 weeks. So the 2 weeks, it has to be sometime next week. So we must find a date for next week wherein we are going to follow up with NSFAS. So I think the team has just follow up on that one. And other allegations of misleading, like the changing of the APP and all of that. So let's just follow up. Including this one of VUT, we must find a date where we are going to have a follow-up engagement with VUT. And we must also check whether is it true that they've done the appointment of the security company. Okay. Can we then move to the reports? How many reports do you have, Anele?
Yes, sir. It's about four reports. Four.
Okay. Alright, let's have the report.
The first report is the oversight visit to Gauteng.
The oversight visit to Gauteng. I hope members have been able to go through this report. We visited a number of institutions, including VUT. We visited TUT, we visited VUT. We had an engagement with the department. So it's quite a lengthy report, I think 38 pages. Can I get members to comment on that? Any comment? Correction? None. Can I get a mover for the adoption of the report?
Chairperson.
And then followed by Honorable Mananis. Honorable Kacho?
Chair, please let me know if I'm audible. I'm not sure if I'm audible.
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Chair, on the report with regards to oversight, I am failing to see 2 points and I can be corrected by the team. One with regards to our concern with University of Africa, with the fact that they didn't have a very comprehensive report at that particular point in time. I think there was a concern with regards to that. And then secondly, there's a point that speaks to under observations that the burning of infrastructure was condemned by the committee, and that we, reiterated the importance for students to be able to raise their demands in a manner that doesn't speak to the destroying of property. But we also did emphasize the importance for the department, university management, and TVET management to be able to facilitate conversations with their SRCs to ensure that students don't get to a point where they resort to other means of raising their concerns. So I think it was a two-way conversation, responsibility lying within students and student leadership, but also with the universities. And then there was also the issue of our concern with USAF's presentation at that point in time not being very comprehensive. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. I remember that. Are you able to just quickly put up some draft amendment and send it to Anele? Because I think that's in order, that's what we expressed when we were there. But while youth have presentation, we did raise those concerns when we met with them at the departmental offices. But the subsequent presentations have always been like that. I've never seen any improvement, despite the fact that every time we say, you are a reservoir of knowledge, you are an association that represents the vice chancellors. Surely you should be able to have much better information than the department, because the department relies on the submission of the vice chancellors. So USAF should be able to have a better sense of what's happening. But we have seen any improvement from the USAF infrastructure, which was a bit problematic. After our last engagement, just raising some frivolous things with me. I think I'm going to ask Annelette to circulate that letter. I don't know, there's something seems to be not right with yourself, but we'll come back to that. Okay, please, Honorable Kasha, if you can put up something together and send it to Annelette, so that Annelle can then effect those amendments. Honorable Mananiso.
Thank you, Chairperson. I adopt the minutes with the corrections that they made by Honorable Mkato.
Okay. Honorable Mananiso moves for the adoption.
Just
Honorable
one point. On page 15, the last sentence there, on the allegations that were raised, I think it was not acting CFO. I think Mr. Mahlalane was the CFO, but acting DVC of operation. But here I think we captured it as acting CFO. Just that removing that acting, I think the sentence is right, that we also reflected on allegations in respect of the appointment of Mr. Mahlalane as an acting CFO. And I'm saying he was, I don't think he could have said acting when Mr. Mahlalane was appointed there without the requisite qualification. I think maybe if we can just say as a CFO and acting DVC of operation without the requisite qualifications. So I think Mona, we just incorrectly put the acting CFO, but I think I second the motion by Honorable Mananis.
Okay. I think there's an easy one, Anele, you just change it from, it was either substantive CEO, just have to put acting DVC for operations, allegations which were subsequently found not to have merit, and that has been communicated. Otherwise, thank you very much, Honorable Lizier. That concludes the discussion on the first report, accepted and adopted. Annelle, which one is the next one?
Yeah, it's the visit to the SAEO, Chairperson. South African Astronomy.
Astronomy, yes.
Observatory. Yes,
yeah. Okay. I see Honorable Mkacha's hand is up.
Thank you, Chair, I think for me, and I can be guided by yourself and the team, the concern around the representation of South African citizens in the leadership and management of DSI entities such as SAAO, SAO, was raised, and I don't seem to sort of see it emerge. I don't know if it's a matter that would... Look, it was raised in that meeting, or in that website visit, but I don't know if... Because it's not an issue that's genuinely related to SAO, it's also related to other entities of DSI. But I remember it was raised in this particular visit to SAO. The representation of South African citizens in the leadership and management of entities of DSI such as SAO.
Okay. Well, you recall that I had to leave before we finalize. So we'll rely on Honorable Mkhatshwa, who has been leading the delegation after I've left. So did you want to propose a formulation that must be in the minute, Honorable Mkhatshwa?
I will do so, Chair.
Thank you. Were you moving or were you just proposing? Are you moving?
I can move for the adoption of the report, Chair, with that particular amendment.
All right, thank you very much. Honorable Lizia?
Yeah, thank you very much. I would like to second with the addition that the Honorable Mkhatshwa said. It's true, we raised the issue of a majority of our stakeholders in that space being led by our brothers and sisters from the continent and not ourselves. But also the guy there who took pictures, took very nice pictures. I don't know whether we must add that part as well.
Okay, nice pictures. The report is therefore agreed to in the absence of any dissenting view. The third report?
It's the department's quarterly report, Chair.
Okay, which quarter?
2019-20 first quarter, I'm sorry, second, third, fourth, including the first quarter of the current financial year.
Okay. All right, the department quarterly report. Any comment, honorable members, on the quarterly reports? Any mover for the adoption of the reports? Can I get a mover? I see honorable Mkhatshwa's hand is up. Was it for the previous time or for now?
It was for the previous one, Chair. Let me lower my hand.
Lower your hand. Honorable Spear?
I'm adopting the report, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Spear is proposing the adoption of the report. Any seconder? Can
I second the report, Chair?
Honorable Yabo seconding the report. In the absence of any dissenting view, the report is therefore agreed to. Was that the last report, Anele?
The last one is the DSI same quarterly report, Chair.
The DSI quarterly report. Can I get a comment, correction, or any mover for the adoption of the reports? Honorable Lizia?
Thank you very much. On this one, I would like to overwhelmingly move for it. And I hope Honorable Dr. Tembekwayo will second on this one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. There is a move for the adoption of the report with the request that Honorable Tembekwayo must second. I'm not sure whether she was there when we processed this once.
Unfortunately, Chair, I was not a member by then. So.
Okay. All right. No, thank you very much. Honorable Tembekwayo was not a member. Any seconder? Any seconder for the adoption of this last report, Herbosbia? Thank you very much. The report, in the absence of any dissenting view, the report is therefore agreed to. We are missing Honorable Nodada in action. We are missing Honorable Boshoff. I don't know where are they. My apologies. apologies. Okay, members, I think this brings us to the end of our meeting today. It was a very brief meeting. So we do still have some more time for members to attend to other matters that members are having. Tomorrow we are engaging with two Tibet colleges. So we'll be starting at 9.
No, sorry, it's 3, Chair.
Oh, it's 3. Oh, okay. Okay, we're engaging with 3 Tibet colleges. I was thinking that there are 2.
We're starting at 3, Chairperson, it's 2 Tibet colleges.
Come again.
The meeting is starting at 3, Chairperson, starting at 3, Chairperson.
No, the meeting is scheduled to start at 9. Not at 9. If it's not starting at 9, then it's not an arrangement that I'm not aware of. Because all our meetings are supposed to start at 9. Because when we move today's one, well, the one that we are receiving from DSI, then it was on the understanding that both of them are studying at 9. But if the arrangements have been made for 3, it's fine. We'll have a meeting at 3. But maybe please in future, nevertheless, communicate on these matters. We're supposed to start at 9 o'clock as a matter of practice. Every morning, especially when we're on Zoom. But otherwise, it's fine. Let's start at 3 o'clock tomorrow and deal with this, the Tibet colleges. We expect that every term we must look at 1 or 2 or 3 sitters. We must look at the entity. So we deal directly with the entities. Hopefully before we finish our term in this parliament, we would have engaged with all the Tibet colleges in the country, would have engaged with all the sitters, would have engaged with all the universities. So we take them one by one as we move along. So we're dealing with this threat tomorrow. We believe that there are issues there by the public protector or whatever. Otherwise, members, thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Chairperson, aye, please.
Honorable Nova.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you are right, Honorable Chairperson. The meeting was scheduled for 3, not 9. One usually expects the meeting to start at 9. But in terms of the invitations, it starts at 3 in the afternoon. I was just saying that unless it's going to maybe inconvenience a lot of other members and arrangements that have already been done, can the meeting not be rescheduled for 9 as the norm? Just checking. I'm not hard on that.
Well, I think that's my preferred option, Honorable Nwabo. In any case, the reason why the TVs were coming at 3 is because in the morning we're starting with the DSI. And then in the afternoon it was the TVET. But if there's nothing in the morning for DSI, there's no point why we should start at 3. Unless if we're going to be inconveniencing those TVET colleges. But
if
they can come in the morning at 9. But let's listen to other members. Honorable Tembekwai.
Thank you, Chair. I was just of the view that let us keep it to 3 o'clock for tomorrow. because of an inconveniencing of some sort, of three arrangements.
It's not going to be inconvenience. No, no, Tembe Kwayo, if we start at 9. Because I would like us to start at 9. So that we finish whatever in the evening and to other activities. My original program was 9 o'clock for studying with the National Advisory Council on Innovation. So we moved that one so that we don't have to be a we needed not to have a congested program. But can we persuade you, Honorable Tembe Kwayo, to be available in the morning? Mornings are good because you're still fresh. If we go through the issues around 1 o'clock, you get to attend the other matters that affects that are on your schedule.
Oh, okay, it's fine as long as we don't go beyond 12:30.
Okay.
Is that the agreement? As long as we don't go beyond 12:30, I will be in agreement, of course. Chair, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Honorable Lizia, I see your hand is up.
Yes, Chairperson, my hand was up before Honorable Ngcobo, but because Honorable Ngcobo has got a big voice, so he just speaks that was on the light hand of the Honorable Chair. I was also going to propose that we start at 9 for reasons that you provided, but also additional is because I'm turning 19 tomorrow. So at least in the afternoon, we can have a time to celebrate our birthday, our 19th birthday tomorrow. Thank you very much, Chair. And I'm glad Honorable Tembe Kwayo always agrees with me that she agrees that we must finish 12:30. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now let's start at 9 tomorrow. I think what Anele should do is just to notify them about the change of time, that instead of 3 o'clock, they should start logging in. The meeting is going to start at 9 o'clock. In any case, I think for my side, it might have been an oversight, but the intention has always been to start the meeting at 9. There's nothing happening in the morning. There's no reason why we should start meetings in the afternoon. So Anele will just inform all the invited guests that we are starting at 9 tomorrow. Otherwise, thank you very much. I think we will strive to finish at 2:30. And of course, we will also rely on members not to engage in such a manner that they can engage. So if we are precise to the point, I think we should be able to finish at 12:30. But that is entirely on you, honorable members, on how you will engage with the presentations. Alright, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Leslie.
Thank you.
Why did you say I'm in hospital? How do I look like? Do I look like a person in bed?
No, when you entered, you said I've just been admitted. So I was scared, you tell leadership, you admit on your tie.
Oh, man, that's not right of you.
No.
You said that I have a hoarse voice. You did not say a big voice. You said a hoarse voice.
No, I said you've got a heart. You know, when you speak, you are heard. So
oh,
my
head.
Oh, yeah, my, you see me in my voice, I'm in the Ngani. I'm good, leadership. How are you?
Thank you very much, my brother.
Thank you, leader.
Sure.